Turn now in your Bibles to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. This evening we begin chapter 15. Chapter 15 and verses 1 through 3. John 15, 1 through 3. And beloved, as you know, we must go to the Lord in prayer and ask for His help, His full help to us as we read and hear His word preached. Let's pray. Our Father, we come seeking Your help. Not that help where we, in our typical thought process, we would think as assistance, but we need, where we're doing 50%, You're doing 50%, but You, we need Your full, complete work in our hearts and our minds and our souls, our wills and affections. Everything to do with us, we need Your help. We need You to work Your word into us, that Your word would not be fruitless, but as You speak to us, You would bear fruit within us. And Father, we ask that as we consider even those who are amongst us this evening who do not know You, if they don't know You, Father, may they hear and believe unto salvation, lest they be taken away. So, Father, we ask that You give us ears to hear. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. John 15, verse 1, we'll read through verse 3. This is the word of the Lord. I am the true vine, and My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in Me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it, so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. And that is the word of the Lord. So, beloved of Jesus, and the disciples have just left the upper room after the supper, and now they are going towards Gethsemane, the garden. And now, no doubt, that on their way, they would have gone past the temple complex. They would have done that, Herod's temple. And there in that complex, there was a solid gold vine. And it may be, I don't know, it's not in the scripture, it may be because of how Jesus often looked at things, and the disciples looked at things, and Jesus then pointed it and said, what is true, instead of just the physical outward thing. It may be that as they walked past, Jesus saw that and they saw that, and Jesus used this that time to speak to them what we have here this evening. And to really get to this, beloved, we need to, and understand this passage, we need to go to Psalm 80 and to Isaiah 5. And so if you would turn there, Psalm 80 and Isaiah 5, we'll read that in a moment. And as you're turning there, you would know, if you don't know, the Maccabees and their revolt, that time after the Old Testament finished, after Malachi and before the Gospels, before Jesus came, there was a revolt, and they revolted, and they printed coins because they would have their own currency, and they printed the coins, and there was a vine on them. And the same happened as it was a symbol of Israel. When Israel revolted again, they printed coins again with the vine on them. And that Old Testament, the vine is a significant symbol given to Israel, but it isn't a happy picture. And so Psalm 80, and we'll be reading verses 8 through 11. Psalm 80, verse 8, he says, "You removed a vine from Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground before it, and it took deep root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shadow, and the cedars of God with its boughs. It was sending out its branches to the sea, and its shoots to the river." And so far, so good, what it's saying there. And then it continues, "Why have you broken down its hedges, so that all who pass that way pick its fruit? A boar from the forest eats it away, and whatever moves in the field feeds on it. O God of hosts, turn again now, we beseech you. Look down from heaven and see and take care of this vine, even the shoot which your right hand has planted, and on the son whom you have strengthened for yourself. It is burned with fire, it is cut down. They perish at the rebuke of your countenance. Let your hand be upon the man of your right hand, upon the son of man whom you made strong for yourself. And we shall not turn back from you. Revive us, and we will call upon your name. O Lord, God of hosts, restore us. Cause your face to shine upon us, and we will be saved. And then as you turn to Isaiah 5, you're reminded that the book of Isaiah is a book that teaches that some sneeringly call replacement theology. It teaches that Jesus is the true Israel. Jesus is the true light to the nations. Jesus is the true servant of God who by his suffering would redeem to himself a people, and that the church of God on earth is not to be the church of a nation called Israel, but the church of Jesus, the true Israel. That's the great theme of Isaiah as a whole, that Yahweh would save by this Jesus and make a new people by this Jesus towards the beginning of chapter 5, we read Isaiah 5, verse 1. It says, "Let me sing now for my well-beloved a song of my beloved concerning his vineyard. My well-beloved had a vineyard on a fertile hill. He dug it all around, removed its stones, and planted it with the choicest vine. And he built a tower in the middle of it, and also hewed out a wine vat in it. Then he expected it to produce good grapes, but it produced only worthless ones. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? Why, when I expected it to produce good grapes, did it produce worthless ones? So now let me tell you that what I am going to do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it will be consumed. I will break down its wall, and it will become trampled ground. I will lay it waste. It will not be pruned or hoed, but briars and thorns will come up. I will also charge the clouds to rain no rain on it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his delightful plant. Thus he looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed. For righteousness, but behold, a cry of distress." And it's against that backdrop of those passages, you turn back to John 15, that Jesus says, "I am the true vine. I am truly and righteously and successfully and eternally what Israel was historically, international covenant with God to be, the church on earth as a nation. They have been rejected. They are being cut out. I am the true vine." Psalm 80, verses 8 through 19, Isaiah 5, 1 through 7 tell us that because Israel as a nation has not borne good fruit, it has been disowned by God. If they thought this was true in their exile when Assyria came and took away the northern kingdom, and then the Babylonians came and took away the southern kingdom, how much more was this true in AD 70 when Jerusalem was destroyed, that day that Jesus prophesied about when there would be nothing like it afterwards? So as we consider this evening, the first point we consider is the true vine. Jesus is the true vine. Jesus is the true vine. So Jesus is giving them something not as visible and flashy and impressive in the eyes of men, like we are so tempted to in our day and in their day they were, but something infinitely more valuable and infinitely more substantial, infinitely more lasting and reliable, he's giving himself. And there's only 11 left now, the disciples now, as they walk to Gethsemane. One has left to go get people to betray Jesus, their master. As we've learned last chapter, they're frightened, and by the end of that night, all of them will have abandoned him. Next afternoon, tomorrow afternoon, Jesus will be crucified. And they'll go into hiding. And he's saying the ones who are doing this to you, the ones who have this impressive temple, who have this impressive golden vine, they are not the church of God on earth any longer. You are. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. The word there for vine dresser means a worker on the earth. It goes to the job of pruning, but it's all taking care of it. Everything encompassing, taking care of the vine. It is the word that means farmer or gardener. It's like that. My Father is the one who made it this way. He chose the place. He tilled the soil. He made the preparation. This has been His operation from start to finish. He hasn't been surprised by the unfaithfulness of Israel. He prophesied about it. He talked about it in Isaiah and in Psalm 80. Because I've always been the vine, Jesus is saying. I'm not a new vine, I am the true vine. I am the one to whom Israel itself was always supposed to belong and always supposed to believe in. Abraham wasn't the root. He saw my day and was therefore glad. Jacob wasn't the root. He wrestled with me, looked to me for life. He called me the shepherd who cared for me all of his days. Jesus has always been the true vine. The one who the people of God that were gathered out of the nations, first Israel, now the church of Jesus Christ. They were gathered out of the nations. They were supposed to trust in Him. Hope in Him. Live for Him. But not only is Jesus now starting a church where He is not just the spiritual reality, but the earthly foundation of the church. There's Jesus, then 11 disciples, and all those who believe through their word. Not only is Jesus now the root of the true covenant people on earth, but life by faith in Him has always been the inward spiritual reality that true members of His church are always to have. How often we have come to this passage, we've come to it often because you've heard it so many times, I'm sure, as you've been in the church long enough. And you've been taught that this passage about Jesus being the vine and we are the branches, showing us that spiritual union with Christ when we believe in Him as individuals. And it's important for us to notice that Jesus is speaking in the context of the disciples and the transition from the Old Testament church to the New Testament church. And Jesus is speaking against the background of Psalm 80 and Isaiah 5. And thus He's talking about also the visible church, not just the invisible church. All those who truly believe as individuals in Jesus Christ for salvation, but even the visible church, all those who profess faith. Because we're about to read that the branches, that there are branches on the vine that don't abide in the vine. And some people have made the mistake of thinking that it's possible for someone to have salvation in Jesus and then lose that salvation in Jesus because they didn't understand that Jesus is describing Himself as the vine in two different ways here. He's describing Himself as the vine, as the new church. There's a church that started with Jacob. Remember, it was the children of Israel. The children of Israel are now being exchanged for the children of Jesus, the true Israel. I am the true vine. And if we see that the true vine still has some false branches in it, we'll see that it's not there, that there were people who were in the vine so much. If you mean trusting and believing in Jesus, having salvation, having forgiveness of sins, having spiritual union, having repentance unto life, having His life in them. There's no such thing as a person like that who does not bear fruit. There's no such thing as a person like that who gets cut away and gets burned up. We'll hear, Lord willing, next Lord's Day, Jesus saying, verse 5, He who abides in Me and I in Him, He bears much fruit. So one way that He's saying that He's the true vine is that He's starting a new church. And it's a church that can never be rejected. He's the true light of the world. Israel was to be a shining light to the nations. And what were they? They were not that. He was the true servant of God who would gather the nations. Israel was supposed to be that, but they were not. He was the one who gives repentance to sinners and joy in the Lord. Israel is supposed to be the one through whom the nations repented. But they weren't. Jesus isn't the false vine that Israel has been. He's faithful in all that he does, obeying God in all that he does, gathering into nations, granting repentance to them. He is the root. He has the root, is faithful. And so now when he says, my Father is the vine dresser, he's saying, I'm the one Psalm 80 is talking about. The Son of Man that he made strong for himself. And what is amazing about this verse is the relationship to the Father. We see in these words that there will never be a rejection of the vine because the Father is the vine dresser. Because the vine dresser never rejects the vine. He always keeps it. He's always keeping it up. He's always watering. He's always pruning. He's always doing these things. He'll never be dug up or torn down or trampled on or burned up. All because the vine dresser is the Father. He is the vine's Father. And the Father loves the Son and given all things into His hands. And if He is the Father of the vine, He automatically is the Father of all the branches who are connected inseparably to the vine. True branches, those who abide in the vine, are part of the vine. If you are in Jesus, then His Father is your Father. And the love that He has for Jesus, which He takes care of His church, He has for you. And He takes care of you and tends to your life. Verse 1, Jesus is the true vine. Verse 2, we are now taught two things. The first is the second point. The second point, there are false branches in the church. There are false branches in the church. In the true, visible church, there are false members who will be taken away. It says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. Every branch that does not bear fruit, He takes away. Now think of the disciples and why Jesus had to say they had to leave the upper room. The ruler of the world is coming. Satan coming in Judas, who was a member of the visible church. Judas was a member of the visible church. He was a true disciple of Jesus. It's important for the disciples to know that false branches in the true vine don't show that Jesus is a false vine. If they're thinking of Jesus as the true and final replacement of what Israel had been commanded to be, and if they're thinking about how Israel, because of all of the false believers and members, had been rejected, perhaps they would think that because there are false believers in Jesus' church, His church might be rejected. And no, His Father, the vine dresser, won't permit that. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. He doesn't take away the whole vine. He doesn't take away the true branch. He takes away those branches that do not bear fruit. And the disciples needed to hear that in the true visible church on earth and the new people of God that is being gathered out of the world, separated from the world to God, to be and declared holy, set apart as members of the visible church. And just as 1 Corinthians talks about holiness. And yet even in this true church, there are false branches. Every branch of me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And this is not the in me of verse 5. He who abides in me and I in him. This in verse 2 is in me, the in me of the visible church. Not the in me of faith and spiritual union to Christ and with Christ. There are those in the visible church who are false branches, are taken away in God's providence. We've seen that here. There are those who God commands us to recognize by their unrepentance that they may either be a false branch, verse 2a, or a true branch who needs to be restored, verse 2b, second part of verse 2. They need to be pruned. There are false branches in the visible church, those who are not in Christ, not of Christ. What does a false branch look like? It's an important question. First, it looks like a branch. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. It looks like a branch. There are many people in the visible church that look like, talk like, act like Christians. Look like that, talk like, act like followers of Jesus. Like they're in the vine. And yet those same people who look like branches may be on the vine, but they are not of the vine. They are not in the vine. There's no life flowing from the vine into the branch of which they are. Eventually, that branch will die. You think of a plant that you may have, a grapevine perhaps that you have in your backyard, and you take a branch that maybe looks kind of like that vine, you duct tape it to it. You can't see the duct tape though. Duct tape it to it, stick it to it, and some passerby like me who doesn't know a grapevine from a tomato plant looks and says, "Hey, that looks like a branch from the grapevine," doesn't think anything else of it. But will the leaves on that grape, that new branch that was duct taped to it, will they continue to be green? No, they'll wither and they'll fall off and they'll die because they're a false branch. The false branch has the signs. They have baptism, and they have the Lord's Supper, they partake in the Lord's Supper, but never develops the thing signified in those signs. It has the name of Christ, but not the Christ himself. It lacks his life in them. It has the preacher and the preaching, but not the Christ who is preached. It has Christ's church, but not sure the church is Christ. It may even have God's law, but not the law's God. It's like the Jews in Romans that we read about this morning. They had a law that would lead to righteousness, but because they did not pursue it by faith, they stumbled over the stumbling stone. You can have church membership, hear true preaching, receive true signs, baptism, the supper, and can have the law of God, pursue the law of God, but not by faith in Jesus. You can have all those things, and in everything that you have nothing. You do not have Christ, in whom alone, with all those things, only in Him can you have life. Jesus alone gives life. His means, His church, cannot give life without Him. Unless you believe in Jesus, you will not have life in Him. So first, it looks like a branch. And yet, secondly, what does a false branch look like? It looks like a branch, but it does not bear fruit. Time passes, no fruit appears, and it actually is dead. The fruit of the branch is the fruit of the vine. They're not bearing fruit means they're not serving Christ in all things. They're not doing the works that Jesus does, John 14:12. They're not bearing fruit means they are not linked to the vine. And so they are false. The true branch exists for the vine, produces fruit for the vine and because of the vine. But the false branch, though it may look like the true vine, won't produce fruit, does not produce fruit for the vine because it is false. However, as we apply this to the church, not just the word picture in our age specifically, it may not be, that false branch may not be excommunicated. Because there's little church discipline in our day. And so now more than ever, at least perhaps in our minds, maybe I might be wrong about this, we might be wrong about this, but at least as it seems, there are more false branches in the church today than ever before. Because there is no church discipline. But the vine dresser himself will take it away. Beloved, church discipline is a mercy. It's not a mercy not only to the church that needs to be kept pure, not only to the name of Christ, which needs to be held in honor, not only is it a mercy to the Christian who needs to repent of their sins, who needs church discipline, even perhaps excommunication as the means by which their flesh is destroyed and they repent and they are restored. But church discipline is also a mercy to the false branch, the false church. False branch, that they don't find out at the judgment, day of judgment, the last judgment, they are false. Because even if the church doesn't do the job, church discipline that Jesus commanded it to do, the Father will take away the branch in that time. Because they do not bear fruit. And you may be hearing this and thinking, well, I don't think I bear fruit. And you might be afraid. You might be one of those false branches. There are two things you need to do. First, you keep listening to the preaching of the Word this evening. Second, if you are not having life in Christ and from Christ, the solution is not to focus on worrying that you don't have life in Christ. Rather, you must cling to Christ. That's the example we see in Scripture, like Jacob wrestling with God, refusing to let go until he received the blessing. Like Mary on resurrection morning, when she's found what she's looking for, she realizes that it is Jesus and she clings to Him so much that He says, "You can't hold me on earth by your hug." And He actually says, "Cling to me no longer. I have not yet ascended to my Father." The answer when your conscience is pricked and you are fearful of your state before God and you long for the life in Christ, and that accuser, Satan, comes to you and he says to your mind, to your soul, whatever it is, and you begin thinking, "I'm not a Christian at all. I'm one of those false branches. I'm going to hell. I might call that trust, but it's not bearing fruit." And Satan says to you, "Look at what you did this past week. That's not very fruitful, is it?" He's saying that to yourself. And the right response at that time is to cling to Jesus. He is the true vine. If you are to bear fruit, you must cling to Him, the true vine. And He isn't just the true vine of the visible church. He's the one who, if you abide in Him, if you believe in Him, if He is the place where you have your life, you will bear fruit. Jesus is the true vine. But even in the true church, there is false branches. The second thing we are taught in verse 2, and the third point, the last point, is the true branches are pruned. The true branches are pruned. With those branches that bear fruit, that are not false and are in the visible church, there are those who believe in Jesus Christ and abide in Jesus Christ and are doing the works that He does. They get pruned. Why would Jesus use that kind of image? Because there are 11 men in front of Him, with Him, who are about to be pruned some more. They are clean generally, because they are the church. They are being pruned of certain things by the words He has spoken. He's spoken in chapter 14 by cutting away some of their wrong thinking, some of their wrong feeling. But they are about to abandon Him. Peter is about to deny Him three times. It is important for them to hear from Jesus. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it so they will bear more fruit. That's what we need to ask, just as we ask the question of the last point. What does a true branch look like? What does a true branch look like? First, it's a branch. It looks like a branch. It's in the church. It's a member of the people of God who have been called out from the world and separated from the world. There are a lot of people who say, "I'm abiding in Jesus," but don't want church membership. Don't want to join their local church. The true branch is the branch in the true vine. Those who have faith in Jesus for eternal spiritual life, who are part of the invisible church, that is, the number of the elect who from all nations who have believed truly unto salvation, those who really and truly believe the gospel unto salvation, who have real spiritual life, they will join the true church. They will join themselves to the true church, the visible church, to Christ. People of God on earth, the covenant people of God on earth that have been gathered out of the world, a true branch looks like a branch. The second thing it looks like, or the second thing of what a true branch is, it bears fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, He prunes. And you may think, "Well, my fruit isn't good enough." Of course, it's not. This obviously doesn't mean perfection. This bearing of fruit doesn't mean perfection, because if it meant perfection, then why is He pruning? Why is He cleansing? Which is the same similar word in our passage that we'll see in verse 3. Why would He be doing that if it was perfect? It's not perfect. And it says here, so you'll bear more fruit. You don't bear fruit perfectly. And your aim at serving is at serving Christ in everything. A true branch has abandoned the thought that I have life in myself, but rather I have life in Jesus alone. A true believer knows he exists not for himself. A true branch looks like a branch. It is being pruned. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. Every branch, it says. Every branch, he prunes. If you're not being pruned, you are not part of the true church. If you're not being pruned, you are not a true branch. If the Lord is not working on you, cutting things out, cleaning things up, growing you, giving you more opportunities to proclaim the gospel, rearranging your situation for the bearing of more fruit, granting to you more and more in everything you do every day to serve Him. Every branch that bears fruit, He prunes. Just like Hebrews tells us, every true son He disciplines. Because every child He loves, He scourges. And so if the Lord doesn't discipline you, if He doesn't scourge you in your circumstances and afflict you in your soul, you should wonder, based on the Word of God, His Word, whether you are a true child of God. And if He isn't cleaning you and clipping things out of your life and improving your growth and knowing Him, knowing His grace, then you're not a true branch. A true branch is pruned of sin, pruned of doctrinal errors, pruned of unholy companions. He cuts them out. He cuts out those things that we have begun to trust more than Him. Those things that we rejoice in without Him. The things He prunes, he prunes unhealthy habits. A true branch is being pruned, but providence is not the only method or the main method of this pruning. Verse 3, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. The word prune and the clean have the same root in the original. They come from the same word. He's saying, I've been doing this work of my Father's, pruning you through the word I have spoken to you. So one of the main tools that the Father uses is the word of the Son, Jesus. His word. In the last chapter, we've seen Him cut away their self-sufficiency, saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. He's been using the word to prune Peter. I will not deny you, Peter, but you will deny me 3 times. And so we come, we hear preaching, and it cuts away the confidence that we have in ourselves. And then it does something else. A person without any confidence. One is pruned of that to build them up in their faith in Christ. He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do. As he promised the last chapter. He cuts away confidence in ourselves and he increases our confidence in himself. The true vine. He increases our confidence not in ourselves as the branch. He puts our confidence in the vine which gives the life to the branch. True branches, pruning, it's not just cutting bad things away, but making it so, just like you think of a plant, making it so that the branch draws more deeply in the vine and grows, bears more fruit. It's pruning he does to keep those things that will suck the life out of us from sucking the life out of us. And so he cuts those things also that will more and more draw on that life of the vine, draw from Christ himself. Who is the true vine. Now Jesus is the true vine. There are branches on that vine that are false. There are branches in the true visible church that are false. Now, Lord willing, none here today. And you can recognize those false branches not by what they look like at first, because they look like a branch, but because they don't bear fruit. And they will be cut off. And if not in this life, they will be cut off, cut away at the judgment and burned with fire. But here we look at the true branches. They also look like a branch. They look like they're of the church. They bear fruit. And they're being pruned. And they're being especially pruned by the Word of God. The Word of Jesus Christ. And so this day we are called to look to the true vine for our life and confidence and hope. And so let's pray to Him. Our Father, we thank You for Yourself who is the vine dresser, who has done all of this work, great work, even through and in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the true vine. Father, we pray that if there are any false branches here, that you would take them away and cut them out. And yet, Father, of your elect, who perhaps not have believed yet, we ask that you would cause them to believe in this time. Sooner, especially, rather than later, because they do not know, we do not know, when you will take our lives, or when Christ will return and the judgment come. So, Father, save your people. Bring and graft in those true branches into the vine and prune us, that we would bear more fruit, that we draw more from the life of your Son. Father, we call upon you, asking you to do these things, not only thinking spiritually, but asking also physically, that you would give us life. Strengthen our lives, our bodies, to serve you. Pray for those who are struggling in their bodies and ask that they would remember this and be comforted and have their confidence here in you, your Son, who's divine. And Father, we ask that you would prepare us for the time ahead, the times ahead when you will prune us and discipline us, and correct us, and rebuke us, that we would not be mushed down or pushed down by it, but we would be built up because of it, that we would bear more fruit for your good, for our good, and for your glory. And these things we do ask in Jesus' name and praise you for this word. Amen.